Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's the dictionary.
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 Well, hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and I'm wearing a very wrinkly shirt today. I did not have time to steam it. All my stuff is very wrinkly, because that's how I live. I have not grown up from wrinkly graphic t-shirts. Maybe one day I will grow up. All right. The first word in this episode is fringe area. Two words, noun from 1950. This is a region in which reception from a given broadcasting station is weak or subject to serious distortion. This is when maybe you're on a road trip, driving down the highway, you're in one area for a radio station, and then all of a sudden, the radio is like, and then some other stuff starts coming in, some other music, some other talking, and you're like, wow, I must be in the fringe area of that radio station. I'm way at the edge of its broadcasting area. We've all heard it, probably, most of us. My sound effect today shall be... Now we have fringe benefit. Two words, noun, from 1948. Number one, an employment benefit, as a pension or a paid holiday, granted by an employer that has a monetary value but does not affect basic wage rates. I guess this is something that I get, right? I get paid holidays off. Just a few days ago, I had the 4th of July off. Also, a pension. I don't get a pension, but I get other things. I get insurance, and that's a pretty good benefit. But why is it a fringe benefit? Is it a little extra? Is it a little something? What's the fringe part of it? I'm not sure. Number two, for fringe benefit... Any additional benefit, oh, that's the whole definition, any additional benefit. The example is, increased energy is a fringe benefit of regular exercise. That's an additional benefit. The benefit from exercise is, you know, maybe getting that heart rate going, working on those muscles, making them stronger, making them stretchier, burning fat, you know, these are all benefits, but a fringe benefit, it's anything that's additional than maybe what your goal is. So, hey, whoa, I have increased energy because I've been exercising. That's a pretty good benefit. Why am I doing the chicken dance? I did not expect to have that benefit. It's a fringe benefit. All right. Next is fringe tree. A tree on the fringe of society. A tree that does not... It's one of them... What's the word? When you don't want to... It's the... oh boy, I can't think of this word. When you don't want to be like everybody else, you want to wear different clothes and have funny hair, and you're an anti-conformist. That tree does not conform to what the other trees are doing. It's growing sideways. This fringe tree is a noun from circa 1730. It's a small eastern U.S. tree of the olive family that has clusters of white flowers and is widely cultivated as an ornamental. And the species name for this tree, which is actually called a fringe tree, it's Chiononanthus virginicus. There, I think that's close enough. It starts with a chai or a chi. Chiononanthus virginicus. All right, let's look up a picture of this fringe tree because I want to know why is it called fringe? Fringe tree. Didn't say anything about the fringe in the definition. Let's see. Well, there's a lot of these trees that... Oh, well, maybe this is why. Maybe it's because these flowers, these white flowers or whatever these are, they sort of hang down. They're like fringe hanging from the tree. That could be it. I guess I should post a picture of this on the social media. Fringe tree. Because it's so ornamental. Next is frippery. This is a silly word. Frippery is a noun from 1568. Number one is obsolete. 1A. Cast off clothes. Are these the clothes that you just rip off when you get home? You're like, I don't want to be in my work clothes anymore. I want to be in my comfy clothes. So I'm casting off these clothes. These clothes are just frippery. 1B. Okay, interesting. Number one is obsolete. There's 1A and 1B. 1B also says archaic. So does that mean that it's obsolete and archaic? If it's just 1A that's obsolete, then you got to put the obsolete after 1A because the archaic is after the 1B. Anyway, it is a place where old clothes are sold. You got to go, maybe you're going to the thrift store to sell your frippery because maybe you don't want this frippery anymore, but maybe somebody else will want this frippery. You go to the frippery to sell frippery. Because it's cast off clothes you don't want no more. 2A, the synonym is finery, also an elegant or showy garment. Now, this seems pretty different from the 1A and 1B definitions. Those seem like, these are old clothes that maybe people don't care about anymore. But this 2A is elegant and showy garment. This seems pretty nice, something that you might not cast off. Frippery is two different things. It's also number 2B, something showy, frivolous, or non-essential. Yep. Who cares? It's not essential. It's maybe you put on all your clothes and then you put on a tiara. Maybe the tiara was the frippery because it's not essential. It's not covering important pieces from your body, on your body. It's just frivolous. 2C. Didn't you ever hear that song? Tiaras are frippery. Okay, 2C. The synonym is ostentation. Makes me think of ostentatious. Ostentatious powers. Ostentatious is definitely, you know, more of this showy, ornamental, fancy stuff. But especially something foolish or affectedly elegant. So elegant, so foolish. Oh, wow. You weren't even wearing a tiara. You were wearing a whole crown and you had a scepter and a big cape. That is frippery if I've ever seen frippery. This word is from Middle French frippérie, alternative of Old French frippérie, from frippe, which means old garment. It's so old. How it became this ornamental... ostentatious finery fancy stuff. I'm not so sure. Now, I don't know about that. But yeah, this is just old stuff. Getting rid of it. That's frippery. We don't need it. Now we have the word frisbee. Capital F-R-I-S-B-E-E. It is a trademark, and it is used for a plastic disc for tossing between players. A plastic disc for tossing between players. And I have spent my whole life playing the frisbee, throwing the frisbee, often with my dad, maybe sometimes other people. And we just watched a movie last night. I'm not going to tell you what movie it was because I will do that at another time. I am trying to look up frisbee. Where did it come from? Now, Back to the Future, the Back to the Future series, number 3, I think, would have us think that this came from a pie tin company, and I think it might be true, partially true. Let's look up the page for this. History. Frisbees were invented in the late 1930s by the American inventor Walter Frederick Morrison. Morrison and his future wife Lucille had fun tossing a popcorn can lid after a Thanksgiving Day dinner in 1937. They soon discovered a market for a light-duty flying disc where they were offered 25 cents for a cake pan that they were tossing back and forth on a beach near Los Angeles. Now, wait a minute. First, they were tossing a popcorn can lid, and then later they were tossing a cake pan? Why? This, they just love to throw stuff at each other. In 2007, in an interview in the Virginian Pilot newspaper, Morrison compared that with the 5 cents it cost back then, that got the wheels turning, because you could buy a cake pan for 5 cents, and if people on the beach were willing to pay a quarter for it, well, there was a business. Yep, that's what he said. That was a quote. So, they were selling them for 25 cents in like 1937-ish, which was the equivalent of $5 in 2024. Oh, frisbees, you are so great. I love to play with the frisbee. I was not bad at the frisbee. I wasn't very good, but I was pretty good. You know, I would throw it behind my back. I did a funny move where I would jump in the air and throw it between my legs from behind. And that was pretty fun. I was never very good at catching it behind my back. I would try a lot, and I got it a handful of times, but it wasn't consistent at all. You know, you'd throw it, and then you could hit it with your finger to make it bounce in the air while it was still spinning, or just, you know, swing it around on your finger. And then, of course, you'd throw it at an angle in the air, and then it would come right back at you. Oh, frisbee. Should play more frisbee, I guess, in all my spare free time. Anything else about frisbee? I have played the frisbee golf a couple of times. That was pretty fun. Those discs are interesting because some are weighted evenly, some are heavier on one side, and it depends on if you're a lefty or a righty. Are you throwing forehand or are you throwing backhand? Which way is it going to spin? It's going to curve this. It's going to do an S-curve. It's going to curve to the left, curve to the right, or just go straight. It's very complicated. I can't do that with my brain. And then there's, of course, frisbee or disc, not the disc golf, but the ultimate frisbee. That's what it is. Maybe I played it once in like 6th or 7th grade. I was never a runner, and so this was not a good sport for me. But I know people who play, like in Chicago, there's like intramural ultimate frisbee. And oh, they are some athletes, and they're doing some fancy stuff with the frisbee. And I don't think I could ever do that. I'll just watch and cheer everybody on. All right, and my sound effect is the sound of a frisbee. Next word is freeze aileron. Two words. Freeze is capital F-R-I-S-E. The second word, I assume I'm pronouncing it correctly, A-I-L-E-R-O-N, aileron. Freeze aileron is a noun from circa 1934, right around the time when the frisbee was made. This is an aileron having a nose portion projecting ahead of the hinge axis and a lower surface in line with the lower surface of the wing. And what the hell is an aileron? So it's a certain kind of aileron. And of course, now I must look up a picture of this. Here we go. Freeze ailerons. Yes, it's showing the wing of a plane. Let's look up images specifically. And this looks like a good chart. There's the freeze type aileron acting as a slot and as a balance tab. So is that the part in the back? Aileron up, aileron down. Yes, I think these are the things on the wing that help it. Do you want to go up? Do you want to go down? Do you want to slow down? That's the freeze aileron. If it's tilted up, it's creating drag. The freeze type ailerons. There's neutral, raised, and lowered. So this was invented by an English engineer named Leslie George Freeze, born in 1897. I don't understand why sometimes they put born in a year and sometimes they put died in a year. Usually when they say born, it makes me think that they're still alive. But when this book was made quite a few years ago, I doubt that a person born in 1897 was still alive. Highly unlikely. All right, so that's that one. And now we have Frise.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
F-R-I-S-E-E, or you can take off the last E, and the E that you did not take off has the acute accent. Boop! So the frise is a noun from 1982. This is curly leaves of endive that have finely dissected edges and are used in salads. Endive? It is called also curly endive, I can't remember the proper pronunciation, or frise lettuce. And right after the word endive, curly leaves of endive, it says sense one. So I guess that if we go to the word endive, first of all, we will find out the proper way to pronounce it. And also, we have to look at sense one. Is that just definition number one? Let's see, where is on div-a-dib-a-dib-a-doo. Here we go. It's endive or endive. Either one is fine. Endive seems more accurate. An annual or biennial composite herb occurring in two forms. One having slightly bitter, curly, usually dissected leaves, used especially in salads, and also one having slightly bitter, broad, flat leaves and used especially cooked as a vegetable. So the first, either one of those, I guess, these herbs. It's a frise herb. And this is a French word, frise. It is short for chicorée frise. Don't know if I pronounced that one right. Which means curly chicory. So frise basically means curly in French, I am assuming. And it's just, yeah, the curly leaves of this herb, endive. I don't know if I really care for this flavor. I'm going to assume not. Next is Frisian, capital F-R-I-S-I-A-N. This is the first form of this word, Frisian. It is an adjective from 1598. It is of, relating to, or characteristic of Friesland or Frisians or Frisian. One of those, if it's Frisian, it's relating to one of those. Now, what are those, you might be asking? Well, I think that's coming up real soon. But first, we must say that this is from the Latin Frisius, which means Frisian, akin to the Old English Frisia or Frisia, which means a Frisian, a person, I guess, who is a Frisian, probably from Friesland. And I don't know about that, but we will now talk about the next one, the second form of Frisian. This one is a noun from 1601. Number one, a member of a people that inhabit principally the Netherlands province of Friesland. And I'm just going to say that I'm saying that correctly. And the Frisian Islands in the North Sea. So way up there in the north, in the Netherlands, maybe they're freezing their butt off. You think that that's etymologically related? It could be. And then number two, the Germanic language of the Frisian people. Well, let's look on a map. Let's just pull out your old handy-dandy map. I'm going to pull it down from the wall. Let's see. Let's look up, well, I guess Friesland. Want to see where this is. I want a bigger map. Should we just go to Google Maps? Should we do that so we can get the actual thing? Let's see. Google Maps. And we're going to type Friesland. Well, there's a Friesland, Wisconsin, but we want to go to Friesland, Netherlands. And let's see. Historically and traditionally known as Frisia, named after the Frisians, it is a province of the Netherlands located in the country's northern part. It is situated west of Groningen, northwest of Drenthe, and Overijssel, north of Flevoland, northeast of North Holland, and south of the Wadden Sea. So, let's see. Yes, there's some islands. There's way up here in the northern part of the Netherlands. And so I think whenever I hear Netherlands, I think of one of those countries like up by Sweden, but it's not. It's all the way down there in the main part of Europe, near Germany and Denmark and Belgium and Luxembourg. And it's right on the water on the North Sea. So it's not very far away from England either. That's the Friesland. The Frisian people live there. All right. Now I have some context of where that is, what these people are, who they're, what they're doing. Next word, it's frisk, first form, verb from 1519, starting with intransitive. To leap, skip, or dance in a lively or playful way. The synonym is gambol, G-A-M-B-O-L, just gambling down the road, frisking my way. Come frisk with me. Let's skip and dance and cheer. Woohoo! We're frisking our day away. This is not how I move through life. I just don't. Some people do, and that's great. It's not me. Gambling and frisking. But now we have transitive, which is completely different. I don't know if I've ever seen a huge difference between intransitive and transitive, as huge of a difference as this is. This is to search for something by running the hand rapidly over the clothing and through the pockets. And through the woods to grandmother's house we go. So obviously, an example of who is being searched is a person. And what thing you are searching for is a concealed weapon. I don't think I agree with the word rapidly. Are you moving your hand rapidly over everything? Does it have to be rapidly? It seems like if you do it slower, maybe you would be a better frisker if you frisk slowly than rapidly. So why is intransitive leaping and jumping and skipping through life? And frisking transitively is checking a person for a weapon. I'm going to pat you down. I got to frisk you. I got to check your arms. I got to check your armpits. I got to check your hip, your leg, your crotch, your ankles. I got to check all your places. Might even want to check your hair. I could probably fit something in this hair, like a pencil. All right. So the etymology says this is from the obsolete word frisk, which means lively. Doesn't say what language that is. I guess just another English word. lively? You do when you are checking, when you're checking somebody for their concealed weapon, are you checking them lively? Livelily? Okay, let's move on to the second form of frisk. This is a noun from 1525. Let's get the words more in line with the camera. Number 1A is archaic, and the synonym is caper, like the Great Muppet Frisk. It's a caper. The Muppets were going on a caper, a frisk, but it's archaic. All right, now 1B, the synonyms are gamble and romp, just like we saw before, leaping and jumping and skipping. That's a frisk. Let's do a frisk when we're frisking down the street. 1C, the synonym is diversion. Going to distract you while I do this caper, and I shall be jumping around as I do the caper. So I'm going to distract you with a frisk while I'm doing a frisk, and I'll be frisking. Number 2 is an act of frisking. That's it. I'm so confused and fascinated by this word. Maybe this is related. It's frisket. Sounds like brisket. A tisket and a tasket for my basket. It's a frisket. This is a noun from circa 1898. It is a masking device or material used especially in printing or graphic arts. A frisket. It's a masking. So you're covering something up while you're creating your graphics? I feel like I need to see a picture of this one. This seems like something that I would have heard of before, but maybe not. What's frisket film? In art, frisket generally refers to a masking material used to protect specific areas of a surface during painting, airbrushing, or printing. You can use a liquid frisket, a frisket film, frisket in printing. You can mask things, stencil, preserve white areas, protecting details, letterpress printing. So, basically, I mean, the simplest form of this is when you put on, let's say you put up some painter's tape. You're painting a room and you put up some painter's tape, maybe to make a design or to just not get paint on the floor or a different wall or the ceiling. And that's frisketing, I guess. I've never heard of this term before because I didn't really study the art. Interesting. It's a French word, frisket. Now we have frisky. Adjective from circa 1500. Now that we saw some definitions for frisk, all about being lively, this one makes much more sense. I never thought of frisky and frisking, like looking for a weapon. I never thought of a connection between the two of them. I still don't see. I mean, we got to read it, right? First, we can't go too far without reading it. Frisky means inclined to frisk. And I would have thought, wait, you're inclined to pat somebody down to look for a concealed weapon? That's frisky? No, it's frisk about, you know, gambling and leaping and skipping and dancing. The synonym is playful, as in the example, frisky puppies. But now I want to see puppies frisking each other for concealed weapons. Where would the puppies even be holding a concealed weapon? Not many options. Maybe inside of their floppy ears. There's another synonym, lively, as in a frisky performance. That was a frisky performance. It was so lively when you were jumping and dancing. Friskily is an adverb, and friskiness is a noun. Often, when I hear frisky, I think people tend to use it, not that I hear it very much, I guess, but people tend to use it in like, ooh, you're feeling playful and maybe kind of sexy. And that would definitely be part of the playful synonym. But it didn't say anything here about feeling kind of sexy. They covered their bases just with the word playful. That can have different meanings. All right. Moving on to frisson. F-R-I-S-S-O-N. Pronounced frisson. Noun from 1777. This is a brief moment of emotional excitement. The synonyms are shudder and thrill. As in the example, produce a genuine frisson of disquiet. And that is a quote from Patricia Craig. What was Patricia talking about? Something that produces a genuine frisson of disquiet. A thrill of disquiet? A shudder of disquiet? That's a thinker. Now, it's a brief moment of emotional excitement. Oh, I got so excited briefly. Just for a second, I had a frisson. This etymology says it is a French word, which means shiver. Of course, you people fluent in French already knew that. That's what it is, a frisson. Let's see. It is from Latin frictio, which means friction. It says taken in Lower Latin as derivative of frigere, which means to be cold. Oh, yes, there is a connection between being cold and shivering. So when you shiver, you've got a brief emotional excitement. Frisson. A frisson just ran through me. All right, moving on to... Did you catch the frisbee? Good job. Now we have the word frit. F-R-I-T. First form, noun from 1662. This is number one. The calcined or partly fused materials of which glass is made. They make glass out of frit? The calcined or partly fused materials of which glass is made. Okay, now we got number two. Any of various chemically complex glasses used ground, especially to introduce soluble or unstable ingredients into glazes or enamels. This is fascinating. Let's look at the etymology. This is Italian from fritta. Of the feminine, that's the feminine of fritto, which is from the verb frigere, which means to fry. So maybe you're heating this stuff up to create a glaze, enamel, a glass. From the Latin frigere, which means to roast. Yes, you are cooking it to melt it down, I think. Well, now we have another one. It's the second form of frit. It's the verb from 1832, just transitive. Number one, to prepare by heat. The synonym is fuse, and the thing that you are preparing by heat would be materials for glass. So you are fritting the materials to make some glass, and maybe those materials are also called frit. And number two is to convert into a frit. Well, now I'm even more confused about frit. Do we have to look this one up, too? I'm just going to look up, what is frit? That would be the easiest thing to do, and then maybe it will explain. A ceramic composition that has been fused, quenched, and granulated. Frits form an important part of the batches used in compounding enamels and ceramic glazes. So yes, looks like there's different kinds of this stuff, a mixture of silica and fluxes, which is fused at high temperatures to make glass. I have never heard of frit. All right. Yep, I'll put this link in the show notes for frit. And now, everybody, all you people, all you human beings, we have one more word for this episode. It is frith. F-R-I-T-H. Noun from the 14th century. It is archaic, and the synonym is estuary. If you don't know what that is, just go back and listen to the episode with the word estuary. I feel like I've heard of the name frith, and it makes me wonder. I would say not a common name, frith. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. We had today Fringe Area, Fringe Benefit, Fringe Tree, Frippery, Frisbee, Frisee Aileron, Aileron, Frisee, Frisian, Frisian, Frisk, Frisk, Frisket, Frisky, Frisson, Frit, Frit, and Frith. Well, I was fascinated by a few of these. Obviously, I'm always feeling frisky, playful. I want to play with some puppies. Frisk being a lively sort of way that you move through life, dancing and skipping. I did not know about that. But obviously, I have to pick Frisbee as the word of the episode for myself, because Frisbees have just been a part of my whole life. Ever since I was little, my dad was like, "Son, I'm going to teach you how to play the Frisbee. Here." And he throws it and it hits me in the head. Then you got to learn the hard way, son. He would never talk like that. Frisbees, 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 I'm throwing my Frisbees through the air. They're spinning all around, playing a game. Get it in the basket at Frisbee Disc Golf. That was an amazing song. Wow, can't believe he just made up that one off the top of his head. Now, I'm going to tell you about a movie. This movie, this next movie that we watched, is Megan 2.0. And of course, we like to say Mathregan. Is the 3 in her name because it was the third version or something? But now we got 2.0, so is this the 4th version of Mathregan? I don't know. What to say about this movie? I mean, again, it's super silly and fun. I mean, they go hog wild. I still enjoy the first one more, but, you know, come on. It's Mathregan. And I can't help but think of the Key and Peele sketches where one of them is Megan. I think the boyfriend is like, "Megan, come on, Megan." Yep. It's hard not to think about that. Anyway, they're just super fun, ridiculous movies. They're more comedy than horror, I think. Really. Yeah. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Please share it, subscribe, write a review, comment, like, subscribe, do more subscribing, and all those fun things. I think I said that a few times. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.